Hello, and welcome to the Divorced Dadvocate, divorce support for dads, where we help dads create a healthy and less traumatic divorce. My name is Jude Sandoval, and I'm your host. I created this podcast and the Divorced Dadvocate community as a result of my own high conflict divorce, and because you as a dad deserve all the resources necessary to thrive through this challenging time. I encourage you to check out our website at thedivorcedadvocate.com, where there are resources that correspond to this episode, as well as free access to our membership community, where you will find live meetings, free workshops and courses, private discussion groups, and more. And now, on to this week's episode.
Hello, and welcome to the show. We've got a great topic today. It is Rebuilding Amidst Divorce, 10 Proven Ways to Combat Loneliness and Rediscover Yourself. Obviously, maybe not so obviously, the one biggest thing that I know I experience and that I get from guys is the loneliness that they experience when going through divorce and post-divorce as things change and the environment changes, the dynamic with maybe not having kids around all the time. Obviously, also not having your ex around anymore can definitely bring some loneliness to you. And also, the second part of that is rediscovering yourself in order to move on and into a new life and creating that new environment. But before we get really rolling and diving into this, let me welcome some of the new members to the Divorced Dadvocate community. Those are Daniel, Hani, Charles, Timothy, Brett, Toby, and Tanner. We got a bunch of guys getting involved, and we're going to talk about doing that today. If you have not checked out the Divorced Dadvocate community yet, go to thedivorcedadvocate.com, and we've got all kinds of resources there for you, from free to paid. The divorce quiz is one awesome free one, which is the opportunity for you to see where you're at in your divorce compared to others who have gone through it. It's on the divorce quiz page, or tab, I should say. And it's going to send you some immediate results that you can look through and see where you're doing well and also maybe where you might be struggling. So check that out. There's also other resources there. We got the group meetings, the recordings of the group meetings are one of the things that the guys say is probably the best thing. When we've got hours and hours of those where we are sitting together, we're talking. Sometimes we're sharing about what we've got going on. Other times we're sharing strategies and ideas and our experiences as well, which is the most valuable part of that time in those group meetings together. So check it out at thedivorcedadvocate.com, and I hope to see you there. Okay, 10 proven ways to combat loneliness and rediscover yourself. And so we know divorce is undoubtedly one of life's most challenging experiences, and it leaves us grappling with feelings of loneliness and uncertainty about the future, for sure. And as guys, having uncertainty and chaos is not our favorite thing. But amidst the pain and the emotional turmoil, there is an opportunity for us to grow and have some self-discovery. So what we're going to talk about today is 10 practical ways to combat that loneliness, but also at the same time, rebuild yourself during divorce. And I'm going to support this with some scientific documentation, some sightings of some documentation, as well as some practical steps that you can take. So the first one is cultivate a support system. If you listen to more than one episode, you've probably heard me say this. You're probably going to get tired of hearing me say this, but it is number one on the list for a reason. And it is the number one thing that you can do to combat that loneliness, but also to give yourself the support that you need. Surround yourself with a supportive network of friends and family. There's a meta-analysis by Julianne Holt Lundstedt and Timothy B. Smith that highlights the positive impact of social connections on mental health. I think that's one of the things that is the most gratifying when we're in our group meetings or when we're getting together. We had a meeting, just in-person meeting, just last week, that when we get together, just those connections And that can be, and so here's the other thing is that might be looking different. That might be changing for you as you go through this because of the dynamic of being in the family, and you might have had family friends, and you might have friends that you had with your ex that are no longer talking or not responding or whatever it might be. So you might have to go out and look for new friends. And a couple of places you can do that is you can do it at your church. If your church has divorce support groups or even any other kinds of support groups, there's a high probability if you're going through this and you are doing the work, and we're going to talk about some self-reflection coming up in the next tip, but you're maybe finding that you have some things that you're doing that you might be numbing, you might be avoiding. There might be a relational dynamic that that you bring to the relationship, like codependence or narcissism, that is part of what has brought you to this place. So you can find places to go to help with that. I mean, whatever it might be, get involved. It doesn't just have to be friends and family. And frankly, sometimes talking to people that aren't friends and family because they have a vested interest in one way or another, talking with complete strangers and people that you don't know about what you've got going on or what issues you might be dealing with, et cetera, can sometimes be even better than talking to friends and family. And some of my best relationships now have come out of seeking out some help like that. And that is absolutely critical, that part about seeking out the help. You've got to go look for it. It's not going to come find you. As much as that would be convenient, it's not. Asking for help is a sign of strength, and we all need help through this this challenging time. It's not something hopefully you've been through more than once, and even if you have, even the first few times you've ever done something, you never did it really well. So hopefully you're not doing this divorce very well, because I probably feel I'd probably question if you were doing it well. So make sure to get involved. That's why we've created the Divorced Advocate community. Go to the website at thedivorcedadvocate.com. Click on, there's a free membership. You can check it out. You can check out one of the group meetings. There are all kinds of resources there as well. Or get involved somewhere. Their meetup is another great place to do that. They've got all kinds of meetup.com in your local area. They'll have different events and stuff going on. And even if it's just something social and easy and fun to do, fun is definitely a good thing. Okay, the next one is embrace self-reflection and acceptance. Acknowledging and processing emotions is absolutely crucial for healing. In a study in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, it suggests that self-reflection can lead to increased emotional well-being. And so one practical example of this that I would give is starting a journal to document your thoughts and emotions. And you just use the space for self-reflection and also accept that it's okay to feel a range of emotions during this challenging time. So let's separate those two things. Firstly, using the journaling. I resisted journaling for a very long time. It is absolutely a phenomenal place. There are so many thoughts going on all at the same time during this challenging period. So getting stuff down on paper, and sometimes even if it's just free flow writing about what your emotions and your feelings are, that is perfectly fine too. But to get them down on paper, there's something about the process of it going from your brain through your body and your hand onto paper that helps to refine it, helps to work through it, and is actually a healing part of it. And the second part of that is just know that your emotions are probably going to be all over the place. There is a lot that is going on. Just the grieving process alone includes five different types of emotions, and those are not linear at all, which is another thing that drives men crazy that there's not just a linear process to grieving, that it's all over the place. And so, so be gentle with yourself and be kind, but do stuff that you can help, that can help you with self-reflection and acceptance. Another great one is mindfulness meditation, and that can be in whatever form that you might find comfortable. I started meditation decades ago, so mine has refined into a specific practice. But mindfulness meditation can be as simple as going for a walk, going for a hike, and we'll talk actually next in prioritizing physical health. But the walking can be a walking meditation that that helps you again to bring those thoughts into clarity, helps to deal with the emotions, et cetera. So that's just two of them. There are all kinds of different ones. Again, you can go through the previous podcasts. I think we have one on mindfulness. I think we have one on meditation. I think we have one on journaling and how to journal. I know that I did that one quite a while ago. Maybe we need a refresher on that one, but check those out and then get connected with me if you need some specific details on some more resources around that. The next one is prioritize physical health. And so exercise has been proven to have a positive impact on mental health by releasing endorphins. And the APA cites numerous studies showing the correlation between physical activity and reduced symptoms of depression and anxiety. You know, in today's day and age of medicating everything, it's absolutely mind-boggling to me, especially when I run into cases of depression and anxiety. When I might experience cases of depression and anxiety, when I talk to others that experience this too, that the simplest, quickest, most effective way to work through that and deal with this. And now this is not a commentary on medication or not needing medication, et cetera. It's just that physical activity, exercise, high impact cardiovascular exercise helps your mental state immensely. So if there's anything you take away from this today, figure out a way to start getting physically active. That can just be as simple as getting up and going for a walk 15 minutes a day, or taking a walk 15 minutes a day at lunchtime on your lunch break, or whatever that might be. That can be then a walk that is a mindfulness meditation and walk. It kills two birds with one stone. I'm telling you, it's going to work wonders. If you can work your way back up to it or work your way into it, much more impactful physical exercise with weights. Weights is huge for guys, particularly in order to keep your body fit and healthy. So figure out what you need to do. Start with that one if there's anything that you're going to take away today first. The next one is explore new hobbies and passions. Discovering and engaging in new activities can be fulfilling. It can be a fulfilling way to rebuild yourself. And there's some research in the Journal of Happiness Studies. Yes, there is a Journal of Happiness Studies that suggests pursuing hobbies will contribute to overall life satisfaction. And so this is one of the things that, this is one of the catch-22s in when we find somebody, when we start a family, and which is great and fulfilling, and our environment changes and our lifestyle changes quite a bit. Oftentimes those passion pursuits and those hobbies and some of the things that we love to do that filled us up the most, that probably attracted our ex or soon to be ex to us, kind of fell away. We may have stopped doing that, whatever it might be. It could be music, it could be athletics, it could be some other hobby that you're into. And the number, I can't tell you the number of men that re-engage and get interested or pick back up some of the stuff that they used to do, and then just find that so life-fulfilling, is absolutely mind-boggling. So if And that's not to say that you can't even find it. You can't go and look for something else that might be something that is new and different. I started playing once in a while with actually one of the guys in our group that's been just hounding a bunch of us to come play pickleball. And it's a lot of fun. I'm a tennis player, so playing pickleball, I was kind of hesitant to do it, but I went out and I played it and had just a blast. And it's a new thing. So it's a new thing, and that one's fun. But try new things. Try new things. It's going to expand your brain. It's also going to help you meet new people, like we talked about, and trying to find a support system. It could be physical. And physical fitness and prioritizing that physical health as well. Or it could be something as simple as like getting into a cooking class, or I love to cook, so that would be a cool one, or art workshops, or anything that sparks your interest. And you're going to meet like-minded people that like to do the same thing, and then you might be developing a new something new. A new hobby, or even maybe a new profession. You never know. Hey, that's how I got into this podcasting, is I started to do this just thinking that it was going to be something simple. I was going to start sharing about my divorce, and I was going to start sharing about the process. And I just thought it was going to be something that was going to be small. Met with another lady that was doing podcasts. She was absolutely hilarious. And she had this goofy voice, and she's like, if I can do it, you can do it. And so I started doing it. And now, and I don't know if I mentioned this, we just got the stats a couple of weeks ago. The podcast is in the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3,270,000 podcasts. And we're in the top 5% worldwide. And we were in the top 10% last year. So we've doubled that. We've got into the top 5% now. My goal for this year, and this is going to be up to you, sharing this with others, is to get in that top 1% of podcasts. And it's just an amazing thing. So that started just from something I was going to just be doing once in a while. Now I do it every week and share every week, and it's grown into the community and the divorce support for dads, and regular meetings and in-person meetings. We've got coming up, I'm getting off track here, but we've got a men's retreat coming up here in June that I'll be announcing here soon. We're finalizing some of the details. That's just going to be an absolutely awesome opportunity. So find those new hobbies and passions. The next is invest in professional growth here's the thing. You can focus on career, and that can give you a great sense of purpose and accomplishment. It can also be a little bit of a distraction as well. And that's the only thing that I would just warn against, is throwing yourself just completely into your work so as to avoid the emotions that might be coming up. And I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this, you probably don't do that. I know that I've been guilty of that in the past as well. I've gotten actually the other end of the spectrum now, where I forced myself not to do that. And so I don't know that that's necessarily even better. I think sometimes I probably could use the distraction. But point being is, focusing on career development, it can help provide a sense of purpose and accomplishment. It is something that you might have some control over in an otherwise in an environment and a situation where you otherwise don't have much control over what the outcome is going to be, particularly with your divorce, what that's going to look like, what the arrangement, the parenting time is going to be, the finances, et cetera. You can control your professional growth, and you can do workshops, you can do online courses, mentorship opportunities, whatever that might be, and continuing to build yourself and grow yourself professionally. The next one is practice mindfulness and meditation. So I mentioned this a little bit before. Let's go in more detail. Mindfulness practices, they have been associated with reduced feelings of loneliness and improved mental well-being. And there's research published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology that supports the idea that mindfulness can enhance relationship satisfaction. So that might be counterintuitive if you're thinking, well, how does mindfulness? Because mindfulness is just being present with yourself. But really, if you're being mindful, and integrating that into your life. That means that you're being present, but when you're being present with yourself, but you're also being present with those that are with you. You're being present with the environment that is around you. You're taking in all of that. So without getting into a real deep dive into mindfulness, then that what that leads to is enhanced relationships, because you are present, you are engaged, and you're connected. And this is hugely, hugely beneficial and impactful with your children in particular. And this is important because of the environment that is happening and is chaotic around you right now. Trying to turn off all the rest of that noise of the divorce and everything that's going on, and tuning into and being mindful with your kids is absolutely critical. And it's incredibly hard to do, I know. But if you can work on that so that you can tune all that stuff out and be present with them when they are with you and when you are around them and when you're interacting, I promise you it's going to reap huge rewards for you in the future. It's going to enhance your relationship. It's going to deepen your relationship with them. So work on those mindful practices and potentially those meditation ones. A couple things that you might be able to incorporate into your routine would be mindfulness. Oh, there's some great mindfulness apps you can look for. There's an app for everything, right? Yoga. Yoga is another one that is really great. That helps you with that mind-body connection. Or even something as simple as guided breathing exercises that you can just do. Just Google search or on YouTube search guided breathing exercises or guided breathing meditations, something like that, because that's going to help you again with that mind-body connection. Okay. The next one is volunteer and give back. Engaging in acts of kindness and contributing to the community will combat loneliness and foster a sense of purpose. And there's a study in psychological and personality science that shows volunteering is associated with increased happiness and reduced depression. If you're serving other people, it is an absolutely amazing way in which you can fulfill, I don't want to say fulfill, you can fill yourself up by giving yourself away. That's the best way that I can put it. By giving of yourself, you can fill yourself up. Again, this one might seem counterintuitive, but when I've been going through some of my most stressful times, the times that I have felt most at peace and felt best in general has been when I would be doing something volunteering during that time, because what would happen is I would literally forget about everything else because I would be focused on somebody else, something else, their situation, and how I might be of a positive influence or impact by volunteering or giving back to them. So try it. Again, this one might seem counterintuitive, but volunteer. And this one's a great one to do with the kids. My daughters and I do it regularly. It is a priority for us. And in the thing that it does with the kids is, and this is a huge thing these days, and I know that you know it, dads, because you are dads and because you're in the environments with them, is that that's not something that that is emphasized, is service to others and to give back and to volunteer. And so it will build and establish in our kiddos that service mentality, which is absolutely a critical and amazing thing for them to learn. The next one is set realistic goals. Now, this is pretty specific in establishing realistic and achievable goals because it's going to provide direction and a sense of accomplishment. And so there's something in, and so this goes to our masculine nature in that we are inclined just naturally to want to have a linear path to things. We're linear thinkers. We want to have know where we're going, what we're doing, how we're getting there. And during this chaotic time of divorce, there's a lot of that that we're not going to have the answers to. So by creating something like maybe a SMART goal setting framework that helps you set specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound goals, then that will help you. And you can incorporate that into maybe some of what you need to do for the divorce. One of the things also that I have on the Divorce Advocate website is the Dad's Guide to Divorce. And it's my five-step process that I take dads through in individual, in private practice, in working through their divorce. So check that out as well, the Dad's Guide to Divorce. And then there's also a previous podcast that take in specific detail around that. And within that, we use things like the SMART goal setting framework, because that helps you to, again, control the things that you can control in this situation, which is yourself, what you're going to do, how you're going to show up, how quickly you're going to get your paperwork done and get your filings done, stuff like that, that you can control, and then leave all the rest of the stuff that's out of control in, you know, in God's hands. The next one is seek professional counseling. This is always a really fantastic idea, and therapeutic interventions such as counseling or therapy can provide valuable support. And there's research in Psychological Bulletin that highlights the positive impact of psychotherapy on mental health outcomes. By consulting with a licensed therapist or counselor, or even and or a coach as well. So I always recommend, and we talk about this a lot in our group meetings, that you are the coach of this divorce team. That's the best way I can put it. And so you're going to need an attorney. Everybody usually starts with an attorney. That's arguably not the best thing to start with. But you know, the attorney might be your quarterback, a very important position. But you're going to need some of those other positions. You're going to need a therapist. You need a divorce coach. You need a financial planner or a CPA. You're going to need potentially a real estate agent and a mortgage broker. So you need to gather all these people. And the beauty about having a divorce coach, though, through this, is that the divorce coach can help you disseminate all this information, because the attorney is going to be looking at this from one isolated perspective, the financial planner or the CPA from another isolated perspective, the real estate agent, the therapist, et cetera. And somebody like a coach or a divorce coach or a divorce counselor can help you to integrate that all together in what's best for you and for your family, because the attorney's not going to be looking out for that holistically. The financial planner isn't going to be thinking about the legal stuff, on and on and on. So build your team and find your people while you're going through this, hopefully before you're going through this, although oftentimes you're doing it on the fly, because 70%+ of us have been served with papers and we're playing catch up in order to get to where our spouse is. And that's something to consider also, guys. And this comes directly from the book called Rebuilding, When Your Relationship Ends. That 70%+ of women are the ones that file for divorce. So if you're listening to this for one of the first times and you feel like, holy crap, this is overwhelming, and you've got a lot of emotions going on, and it seems like your wife is perfectly fine and ready to go and knows what she wants, et cetera, that's pretty common, because she's probably, and not probably, if she's filed, she's been thinking about this and planning for this a lot longer than you have. And while you might have known there's problems or challenges, et cetera, you have not been making a plan. You have not mentally and emotionally been working on this. So know and understand that it's okay, that probably throughout this entire process, you guys will be on different paths, different places mentally and emotionally, as you go through the process. So get that professional counseling. That's definitely going to help navigate the emotional challenges and provide you with some coping strategies. Okay, and the final one, the final way to combat loneliness and rediscover yourself is focus on positive affirmations. Positive self-talk and affirmations can reshape your mindset and contribute to emotional well-being. Another study in personality and social psychology suggests that practicing self-affirmations can lead to improved psychological functioning. Okay, look, I'm not a guy that believes that you can just positive your way into stuff and that you can just think your way into stuff. Actually, that's completely opposite of what happens. You've got to take action in order to change what and who your life circumstances, and who you are. But having that positive mindset can definitely help with your emotional well-being. You've heard me talk about Inner Matrix Systems, Joey Klein's group, and we've got a couple of trainers here that that work in the Denver metro area, but he has trainers all across the country. And what they're helping you to do is personal mastery over your emotions and your feelings. So you're identifying them and then you're taking them because they drive our lives, and you're utilizing them to move your life into the direction that you want it to do, which right now, hey, sounds like a pretty darn good thing to do. So check out IMS, Inner Matrix Systems. Just Google that, or you can go to a couple of my earlier podcasts where I interviewed Joey. We talk about that. He actually takes one of my clients through an exercise, and you'll see the absolutely amazing transformation that he has during that podcast episode as well. And let's see. Finally, divorce. Yes, definitely, undoubtedly is a challenging chapter, but Dad, I can tell you it's an opportunity for personal growth and self-discovery. I would not be the man and, more importantly, the dad that I am today if I did not experience and go through my divorce. I can unequivocally tell you that now, 10 years down the road, I would have never been the dad that I am today had I not gone through this. And I didn't do it all the right ways. And that's one of the reasons why I share this podcast and why I have built this community, because I want to take that time that I wasted muddling around and fumbling around in the dark and cut that down for you to figure out how to get on track and create the environment and the life with your children that you can have, that you deserve and that they deserve, and having a dad that is healthy and happy and functioning and with them through this. It's you've heard me say it before probably, but this can be an opportunity. I know it sounds crazy, but if you actively incorporate some of these practical strategies into your life, you know, you can combat the loneliness, number one, which is a big one while you're going through it right now. But you can also embark on this journey of rebuilding and rediscovering. But just remember that it takes time, and the healing in particular is going to take time. But each step forward is a triumph in itself. So dads, stay strong. It was a blessing to be able to share this with you today. Please share it far and wide. Let's help grow this podcast and the community to more and more men that get involved, more and more men that we help, the more families and kids that have dads in their lives that have positive experiences grow up to be healthy, functioning adults with healthy, functioning relationships in their own families as well. So it's a ripple effect that we can have by doing what we need to do. Thank you so much. You have a fantastic week, and God bless.
To hear the rest of this episode and access the corresponding resources, visit thedivorcedadvocate.com and become a member of our community. It's free to join and will provide you with the resources you deserve as a divorced or divorcing dad. Thank you for listening. God bless, and I'll talk with you next week.